The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show. I was telling y'all out on the boat the other day, I wanted to kind of tell you this is an article done in a paper written by an anonymous 10-year-old, and it was kind of funny. Why I want to be a captain. He said, I want to be a captain when I grew up because it's a funny job and easy to do. Captains don't need much school education. They just have to learn numbers so they can read the instruments. I guess they should be able to read maps so they won't get lost.
This is funny.
Captains have to be brave so they won't be scared if it's foggy and they can't see. Or if the propeller falls off, they should stay calm so they will know what to do. Captains have to have eyes to see through the clouds, and they can't be afraid of thunder or lightning because they're closer to them than we are. The salary that captains make is another thing that I like. They make more money than they can spend. Oh, boy. This is because most people think that captaining a ship is dangerous, except captains, because they know how easy it is. There isn't much I don't like except girls like captains, and all the girls want to marry captains, so they always have to chase them away so they won't bother them. I hope I don't get seasick, because I get seasick, and if I get seasick, I could not be a captain. Then I would have to go out and actually work.
That's totally inspiring right there.
Yeah, really, isn't it?
That's awesome.
We know all the captains, yeah, they all live in them big, huge houses along the river.
Yeah, really. Yep, not on the river, I hate to tell him. And I don't know about how easy it is about not needing education. I tell you what, if you ever take a captain's course, you'll need some education, I can tell you that. You know, but anyway.
Hopefully they'll educate you. That's a good school, that sea school.
Yeah.
I haven't been yet, but I've been doing some research on it.
Are you going to do that? You going to sign up to?
But after talking with you guys, I don't see where they're going to let me.
What's it?
With it being handicapped.
I don't know.
I'd have to go talk to them about it.
Yeah. Have to see what they'd say. Because if your doctor says you're physically able to do that, then that's different.
I'm not.
You know?
I'm not physically able. But I just want to do the course just to learn, to be a better boater.
There's a lot of good information in the course.
Yes.
A lot of good information.
How to do a map and, with the slide, the rulers and all that stuff. It seems cool.
Well, you can actually, if you didn't go, you can take the course. It's just a matter of.
But
that looked like one we had on Tuesday.
And you still get the captain's degree, but not necessarily, or the certificate.
You can get the certificate from passing the course, but the Coast Guard may not give the Merchant Mariner's license.
Because I won't be using it for that.
Yeah, but and they may not give you the Merchant Mariner's license. But
yeah, they might just go ahead, like if you're just renewing the certificate, that type of situation.
Yeah, so
all I want it for.
Yeah, so you could. You could take the course. I'm pretty sure you take the course, because they don't do the actual sea school doesn't do physicals and stuff like that. You have to go to your doctor for that, and you'll only need that when you apply for the license.
Oh, okay.
So you can take the course, and
when I went through, they did. They said, I think they said, well, Thursday night, in Thursday night's course, we're gonna study this, and then the rest of the night we'll have Dr. So-and-so here anybody wants to pay a fee, the fee is going to be XX amount of dollars. And anybody that wants to knock out their physical exam, we're going to be doing it that night. And they had a nice little, you know, little area partitioned off, you know, like that was somewhat private. Not that they do all that to you, but they took care of it all as part of my course when I went through captain school. And so it was convenient to do that. But
they didn't do that when I took the course.
Might be doing it different now.
Yeah, they didn't do that when I took the course. I had to go to my doctor for the physical and all, you know.
Now, I had to go somewhere separate. I had to reach out to the Red Cross to go get my safety. That you have to be CPR certified. That was on my own. I had to go to the Red Cross over there in Riverside and go through the life-saving course. That was all part of the thing. You had to get signed off on life-saving.
The first aid and the CPR.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that ain't no problem. We had to do that at the hospital when I worked there. You had to do the CPR course.
Mm-hmm. And if you're still certified for that, if you still have your card for that, you don't have to do that.
Yep.
Well, I won't be doing it commercially, so I just want to basically, you know,
there's a lot of good information.
Yes.
A lot of good boating information. And
there
also,
really is.
I mean, they talk about firefighting on the boat, you know, because that's something different than just walking out of a building if it's on fire. You're not going to just walk out of a boat if it's
no
on
place
fire.
To run.
You know,
that's why the Navy was big on that. I started thinking, well, you know, you get a fire aboard a ship, where are you going to run to?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You got to take care of it. So that and flooding.
And then
they'll teach you how to plug up holes too. Yeah.
And then the different lights, what they mean on different boats and, you know, the different signs on, like on, you see a different sign on the dredge boat than, you know, other boats and stuff.
That's rules of the road.
Yeah.
I started that section of the book, you know. And just so I know it's not what it'll be the same, probably the same stuff you do in the course.
Well, I still have my Chapman's piloting book. So if you need that, you know, don't go buy one. They're expensive.
Okay.
You can use mine.
All right.
Because I like mine. I read mine. Believe it or not, I read mine every once in a while because of the weather that's in it. The weather section, I like that.
Yeah, I'd like to know if they've gotten any updates to it. You know what I mean? Some new lights, new signage, you know, that you need to be aware of.
What's the name of that book?
Chapman's Piloting and Seamanship.
Chapman?
Yeah.
Chapman, yeah.
Yeah, they're probably about...
see if there's an app.
They're probably about 80, well, they might be $100 now, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. I know it's a pretty big book.
Yeah, it's about that thick. Mm-hmm. But it's got really good information in it.
Got a lot of stuff in there.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the books you have to have when you take the course.
All right.
Yeah.
But
sounds great. That's one of my things on my bucket list. Mm-hmm. I just want to do that, get that course and know that I passed it and say, hey, I got what I need here. Finish my bucket list.
There you go. So we caught some pretty nice trout the other day too. I was going to talk about trout fishing, but we were float fishing for them. And, that's when we caught some trout, caught some reds, caught a couple of sheephead, you know, all while we were float fishing for trout. So, some pretty nice trout up to about, 20 inches. So, I mean, yeah, that's good solid trout.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I was going to talk about float fishing for those with live shrimp, the long slip floats and all. And, you know, so if there's a bunch of areas around where these trout are a little deeper where they're not hitting the lures, you know, you can always try that float fishing for them because they were deeper, just deeper than what I use for the bombers. And that's why we were able to do that. Plus, you know, when you do that, I mean, you're looking at, you know, we catch reds and trout on those bombers, but not sheep's head. Let's see, the other day we caught a couple sheep's head even, you know. Anyway, 222-8255 is the number to call us, and we'll be back after this.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Benelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterward? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423 and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. And we're talking about flute fishing for trout. Like I say, a lot of times these trout are a little bit deeper water than some of your lures. Of course, if you use sinking lures, you can get down there to them too. But I just don't use sinking lures myself. I like those floater divers and, you know, top waters and all. But so fishing for them, like deeper water like that, you get around rock banks and different things. You can, you know, usually catch some flounder, sheep's head, sometimes whiting, all that with that, because you're float fishing, you know, you're just kind of drifting live shrimp down through there. But I enjoy that a lot myself. I just haven't been able to do it, you know, in so long myself. But, you know, taking customers out there to do it, it's pretty neat to watch that float go down. Especially you can tell if it's a good fish or not because of the way it goes down.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I like float fishing.
Let's get Ed on here. Morning, Ed.
Good morning, Captain Vic. How in the world are you? Getting healthy again?
Yes, sir.
Good deal. I'm trying to stay away from my fried chicken myself.
Your fried chicken?
Yeah. Y'all talk about, well, I take one out of the pen every now and then. Y'all talking about that float fish, and that's how I used to commercial fish, was float fish. John Dearson, that's all he ever did was float fish, and I always fished with him, and when I had the fish camp years ago, and yeah, he'd come by for coffee and fuel for his boat, and I'd take off and I guess he took a shine to me, but he showed me how to do it, and I'd rather float fish than I would anything else.
Yeah, I tell you, it's a fun way to do it, and it's pretty easy, you know, if you just sit and relax and drop that pole down. Of course, I have a hard time sitting down fishing myself, but but anyway, you know, most of the time, if you just let that float drift, you know, just set it down beside the boat and let that current take it. You know, you get your boat lined up where you want to, and that way you can stay, you know, like, you know, to the side or whatever of a drop off or anything like that.
I always do one thing a little bit more than everybody else. I drop me about a half a bucket of chum down right before I drop my shrimp down, and that just gets all the good ones up there, because the little ones eat the chum, and then the big ones will grab the shrimp.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is when you're float fishing at shrimp, everything eats shrimp, so there's no telling what you catch. I mean, the other day we caught redfish, sheep's head, you know, speckled trout, yellowmouth trout. I mean, we caught, you know, just about everything with it.
It's a good time of year.
Y'all talking about rain, man. When I commercial fish, I didn't worry about no rain. I went on out there. I've had my fishing pole, the whole fishing poles up in there, and see static electricity coming off the end of it.
Not me.
Wahoo.
I was pretty hardcore back in them days. Now, you know, you see me jump around them sharks, swim over there, get the anchor off the rock and stuff.
Yeah, there's things that I'm just not going to do anymore.
Well, I got a lot of trust in the good Lord, too. Now, he's got me through this far, so I'm not in no hurry. I'm getting ready to go run my scrap yard today. I got to go work there. I work there every weekend, so that takes up my fishing days. But I'm lined up next week, Thursday. I'm hoping to go out there and throw some gold spoons. That's all I ever use anymore. Catch more on them than ever. I don't know how to use it. I don't know how to work them new lures they got. I just throw the gold spoon and rip them through, and they'll get them.
Oh, there's always new lures coming out for people to use different ways. But, you know, like the old tackle stores, the man says the fish don't necessarily like them. They sell them to the fish instead of the fish. They sell them to the fishermen instead of the fish. So.
Yeah, it's like Christmas going there. Like I went in a strike zone not long ago, and my gracious, they've got all kind of lures in there.
They do. They got it if you want it.
Yeah, that's the place to go. If you want to get your lure, you know, that's the place to go, because they have every kind you can imagine in there.
Yeah, I always went to, you know, if I had some fish that had a lockjaw, I went to a split shot and a number one kale hook and a piece of shrimp, a piece of cut bait, and a piece of crab on the hook, a little just tiny piece, and you'll get them to bite.
Oh, yeah.
That haul over creek now, that took a little while to get it dialed in, but I can go there just about any time and catch my limit on fish.
Don't go up there now. They got it all blocked off and them big barges and stuff.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got a barge in there now working on that bridge. I can't believe how they got that barge in there.
Yeah, and I'm just happy to see it, because if they got all that stuff up in there, I know I can get my little boat up in there.
Yeah. They got a barge and a big old crane.
I took the boss man up in there one time. We just slayed the reds, and everybody around us said, "You must be Monroe Kimball or something, while you catching fish, because we're not catching nothing." I said, "Well, a split shot and a number one kale hook right there on that first bend, and you'll get them."
Yeah, Shad's kind of like Shad Creek is kind of like I-95. Everybody's running through there trying to go back and forth from the intercoastal, but. Yeah, haul over, you can, it's usually a little quieter up in there.
Yeah, I like haul over. There's not that much traffic, you know.
Yeah.
We come in from offshore one time, and I just happened to see a high tide. I don't really do chartering. I do donation fishing, and I take you fishing for a donation. And we were coming back in from offshore out there at the MR and stopped by to haul over, and had the guy's son on board. He's like 9 years old. And I said, "All right, because I don't ever throw out an anchor in the creek. So I always either tie to the grass or nose my bow up in the, you know, up on the bait and fish. But that anchor, it just spooks so much, you know, so much fish. I've noticed it over the years for sure." But he got doggone, he caught about a 9-pound sheephead right there on that one side right there. So we went on, released it, and went on back to the dock. I wasn't sure about it being legal from coming in from offshore, you know, to hang up with all these new laws they got to come up with every month. So, but it was fun. We had about a 26 footer up in there, just nosed on the back, you know, on the first sandbar right there, and he threw out to the side, and we eased back across the sandbar. That one seminar that I went to there at the time and had that guy, he wanted me to take him fishing and show him how to sight fish redfish. Now, we went up and haul over, and he was getting so excited. I told him, I said, now, if we don't go pretty quick, now we're going to be stuck up in here. Oh, it'd be all right. I got all day. I said, okay. So he's sitting there having fun with trout. That fish is full of trout up in there. Have you ever go all the way to the end of it?
Oh, yeah.
Where all the little oyster beds are all over the place. That's a trout spawning ground. There's thousands and thousands of little baby trout up in there. And that's why you get the gators. They're really, really hard to catch. They got a lockjaw something fierce up in there. You know, the big trout. I've never really caught any real big trout up in there. I have got some super big bluefish, though. They go up in there and eat them little baby trout. But it's they'll bite anything.
Those bluefish love those trout.
Yeah, but I'm not sure. I'd have to look at my logbook. I think it's this time of year that the big bluefish come up in there. I'm not real sure. I've been trying to work here, and I'm back in Jacksonville. I'm back over here in the hood now, so I moved from Middleburg. I don't have to drive that far. I'm just right around the corner from the scrapyard now, so I can get out there and do some fishing. By the time I got Black Creek dialed in with catfish, I ended up moving back. So, a lot of fun.
Well, you can always drive back down here and fish it.
No thanks.
I tell you.
I'm kind of partial to that salt water. Yeah. I don't know if y'all ever, did you know Miss Bean down there below St. Augustine, Captain Pick?
No.
Yeah, that was my first. I was 5 years old when I was down there fishing, and she took a shine to me because I always just fished by myself with an old bait caster, and I was 5 years old fishing, pulling in big old sharks down there and stuff, and she took a shine to me and got me out there. She run a fish camp down there. It's Bean's Landing now, but it was a big fish camp back when I was a kid. And my grandfather, you know, we went down there camping all the time, and we went out there. She taught me how to catch some big fish. I mean, we'd sit there, and, I mean, huge fish. I mean, fish bigger than me. And I've always been nice. I've always rather caught one bigger than one little. And I take a little one and pin it on there and take a big one. They catch all these big gator trout out there on them lures. And all the way I ever caught one, I can pin about a 12-inch croaker on there, and I can get a gator trout that way. But that's about the only way I know how to get one.
They'll eat them. They'll eat big trout. Eat just about anything.
Yes, sir, and them old Jewfish now, they're a lot of fun, too, now. I fought one about 5 hours not long ago. I can't say where or with who, but it was a lot of fun. We let it go. Yeah, I wasn't going to keep it. Got it with a big old stingray. You know me, I just love feeling that drag going, you know.
That's the ticket right there.
That's my drug of choice, that drug going for about 4 or 5 hours. And take kids fishing. I love taking children fishing and showing them fishing because they just brighten their day. And children and women always seem to catch more than me anyway.
Oh, I know that's right.
The way it is.
Yep, that is right. You want to get outfished.
I was telling Vic a while ago, my wife usually when she catches one, that fish will grow as she gets it closer to the boat. She caught a three, it had to have been a 3-foot redfish. As she was reeling it in, a Jewfish came up and grabbed the whole thing whole.
Yes, you would not believe how many of them are out there in the river.
Oh, yeah. Did you hear the music coming?
Okay, Captain Big. I got to go, man. I got to get ready. Y'all have a blessed week.
You too. Have a blessed day.
Thanks for calling, Ed.
And 222-8255 is the number to call us. And we're going to talk some more fishing when we come back, and we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. With thousands of Hondurans amassed in Tijuana, President Trump is threatening to close the U.S. border with Mexico. This comes days after a federal judge put the administration's attempts to overhaul asylum rules on hold. Meanwhile, the courts have also blocked several versions of the president's travel ban, as well as his attempts to end a program that allows young immigrants, so-called dreamers, brought into the country illegally as children, to live and work in the country. And therefore, the president says he's confident he will successfully appeal this latest ruling by the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. Authorities say a gas leak could be to blame for that house explosion that injured at least one person in St. Paul, Minnesota yesterday. The investigation was ongoing later in the day. It happened yesterday morning and left debris scattered across an intersection. Despite the continued growth of online retail, the Black Friday lines at brick-and-mortar stores were big yesterday. This is SRN News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Hi, everybody. It's our second year anniversary coming up Friday, November the 30th from 6 to 9 p.m. here at the Salem Center. Free food, free cash prizes, free entertainment. I just got to get you on the list. Email me, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. Friday evening, November the 30th, our second year anniversary, or go to eventbrite.com. Type in the keywords WBOB or Ed Dean, our second year anniversary, November the 30th.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Thursday, November 29th at 8 p.m., it's Dave Koz in concert at the Florida Theater in downtown Jacksonville. Friday, November 30th at 7 p.m., enjoy the Harlem Globetrotters at Veterans Memorial Arena. And Friday, November 30th through Sunday, December 2nd, the Jacksonville Symphony presents A French Fantasy at Jacoby Symphony Hall. Check online for daily showtimes.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
I'm Angela.
And I'm Howard.
And we're your hosts of Real Estate Radio.
We talk about what's new in real estate and answer your questions about buying and selling.
Buying and selling a home is the biggest financial investment you will ever make.
Whether it's your first home or your last, or you're facing foreclosure, Real Estate Radio is the show for you.
Listen for Howard's help.
And Angela's advice.
And hot property picks in Northeast Florida.
Tune in and call in to Real Estate Radio every Saturday at 9 a.m.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, Talk Radio. WBOB, the latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
And there's a crash at 295 South. It's over there at the exit to University of North Florida. Exit 52 and is still blocking the right shoulder. Gonna be mostly cloudy today, up to about 77, 20% chance of rain tonight. Low of 56, mostly cloudy, and then partly sunny on Sunday, high 75. Currently 65 degrees right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning.
Good morning.
And, I haven't been in the creeks in a few days because, I've been out there for the sheephead and all. So, and then, of course, for also, float fishing the other day. That was last Sunday, But I haven't been in the creeks here lately to find out, what's going on in the creeks as far as the redfish goes and the sheep's head. I know we've had some high tides here, past couple of days.
Yeah.
It was even high the other day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
excuse me, Wednesday when we left, and it wasn't even high tide yet, you know.
Full moon and a nor'easter.
So I know they were talking about different conditions going on. I was looking at this weather report here saying today's west winds 5 to 10 knots, seas 5 to 7 feet. And, of course, tomorrow they're showing northeast winds 5 to 10 knots becoming east in the evening. But I was noticing on the TV screen a while ago this is southwest wind. So I don't know which one's going to be the correct one, because here it's not supposed to be turning southwest until tomorrow night.
Yeah.
And then Monday, southwest winds 10 to 15. Tuesday, northwest 10 to 15. And Tuesday night and Wednesday, northwest 15 to 20. So mm-hmm. It looks like it's going to increase quite a bit.
Yeah, by Tuesday, it's supposed to get chilly again.
I'm
enjoying this.
Is it? You know?
I just saw that it's going to get cold near the end of the week.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Loving it.
So that's going to drop the water temperature down some more again. You know, they're talking today, small craft advisory for hazardous seas in effect until 10 a.m. this morning. The winds have been decreased, but the seas, you know, remain pretty high until later on in the morning. So hopefully that's going to calm down for people.
Yeah, I thought they said the winds were supposed to lay down last night, and it seemed like it was this morning. Trees aren't moving. Looks pretty laid down out there now.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you're saying, that wind can die, but the seas won't die right down. It'd take a while to work all that out.
Yeah, it does.
Especially
yeah.
when it's been blowing 30 knots out of the like northeast it, like and sending a monster swell to the beach. That doesn't go away overnight.
No, it sure don't. And sometimes it doesn't go away until the rest of the morning or whatever.
Yeah.
They're showing out there at 7 a.m. at Mayport, 10 knots with a gust to 21.
Yeah.
So that's pretty bad. I didn't know it was raining. It was blowing that hard. And then it's supposed to calm down by about noon to 1 p.m. to be 5 to 10 knots.
That tomorrow?
No, that's today.
Okay.
And then tomorrow they're only showing, you know, like 6 to 7 knot winds tomorrow here.
Yeah. That southwest I'm showing starts at 12 o'clock. At about 12 it'll shift. And then it's only like 5 miles an hour.
Yeah, and then they're showing in the morning, I'm on this particular app, they're showing north and then turning northeast sometime around 10 or 11 tomorrow, and then straight out of the east and then southeast around 2, 3 o'clock.
Remember, it was a little rolly on Thursday when we were out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's when we were looking at that was kind of strange because there wasn't that much wind, you know, so... When you're looking at it like that, thinking about, you
or
know,
Wednesday, rather.
Yeah, Wednesday. When you're looking at it like that, thinking about how much, you know, or how little the wind was, but how big the swells were coming through there.
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. I haven't seen what it's showing, you know, like on the Weather Channel and all yet. But that thing on the TV a while ago when I was, you know, sitting here looking at it, I'm thinking to myself, well, that'd be pretty nice if it was southwest. Mm-hmm. But it's showing the Weather Channel showing southwest now. And see, it's showing a completely different forecast. It's showing southwest and west, you know, all day and then turning southeast this afternoon, then northeast tonight.
Huh. It's going to go around the clock, huh?
Yeah. And then north in the morning and then northeast in the afternoon. So, you know, the biggest thing about how to tell what it's actually doing is
go, when you get out there,
go
huh?
put the boat in the water. And go.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I looked at the National Weather Service, two different, the hourly, and then I go to the coastal side of it.
Yeah, because that's
and
what I was
they're
looking
different.
At here.
Totally different.
Mm-hmm. I was looking at it on here for the, you know, on the National Weather Service. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning.
Mr. Bill, Mr. Bigby.
How you doing?
There you go. Well, not too bad. Just, you know, as usual, sitting out here in the truck trying to get educated. You know, I got to tell you, that 10-year-old kid nailed the captain's thing and asked how your house was doing on the hill there.
The life of Riley.
Yeah. Yeah. So
do you guys know
so
that
easy.
Vic's got a house under construction on the big high point there on the river?
Yeah.
Yeah, you see that, don't
yeah.
you?
Wow. You know, he done bought up all the property on that big monument bluff there.
Yeah, 15,000 square feet. Can you believe that house?
Vic, I want to come over.
It's like a fortress.
I cannot imagine. I mean, there's probably rooms those people will never go in.
It's got they're going to build a dock out in front of it for Shad Khan's yacht.
It probably, you know, the dock that they would build probably would take care of his yacht.
Yeah.
It's deep enough.
Yeah, they don't need to mess up. That's a good trout spot. They need to stay away from there.
Yeah, it's also, believe it or not, a good croaker. Good, good. Of course, this year it wasn't a good croaker. It was a croaker spot, and we caught a big croaker the other day out there.
That was a nice croaker. That's why I chimed in. I said, and one real fine croaker. He was a nice one.
Yeah, I forgot
about
him. He
was full of roe, or she was full of roe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you're going to get a cooler full of croaker, it would be nice to get most of them looking like that. They were healthy. That one was really
healthy.
The
last cooler I looked in, these guys were keeping 5-inch croakers. I mean, yeah. I don't even, they must, right. I don't know how they cook them. They must fillet them with an X-Acto knife.
That's probably funny, scale them and cut the head off and fry them whole, probably.
There you go.
Can them like sardines.
You know, but
eat the bones and all later.
We used to do that with native trout up, and when I lived in Pennsylvania, we'd trout fish in these streams you could jump across. 6 inches was a limit, and you could very rarely limit out, but you'd catch 30 fish.
Yeah.
And you just fry them up, eat the fins, eat, you know, everything. They're pretty tasty.
The tails. I call those potato chips.
Yeah, we did too. That's funny.
When you fried them up like that, you could eat those tails. They'd be so crispy.
Nice and crunchy.
You know?
They're good.
You know, get your calcium. We're talking about cork fishing, Vic. I've been doing a little bit because I love it as well.
Yeah.
But a friend of mine told me one time that his neighbor was an old fishing guy, and he gave him a box full of corks. He said some of them were 2.5 feet long, different shapes, fat ones, round ones, long ones. It wasn't always homogenized like, you know, we live our lives here now. But I couldn't imagine using a 2.5-foot cork. Must be a no wind day.
Yeah, I know.
You know?
I can't imagine a fish pulling it down. Must be a heck of a fish.
Well, yeah, I like those thills, those balsa wood corks, because some of those guys use them, you hear them, and it sounds like they're throwing a cement block in the water.
Yeah.
And see, I like the about 10 to 12 inch ones.
Yeah, I get the big fills. I think they're about 9 inches, but they're super light. They, you know, they're tapered on both ends. They cast nice. They don't hit the water like a brick. And
yeah,
it's pretty darn fun.
And then when you have them like that, you have the weight just right to where, you know, it stands up good. And, you know, when you have the tall ones like that, you can see them further away from the boat, you know, especially if you got a chop going on, you know.
Or if you're old.
Yeah.
Do you use the one? You like
Come
the
on,
one,
tell the truth.
You like the ones with the lead on the end of them? Or no. Just the, because I've seen those long, slender ones. They have a weight built into the.
Right.
I like the ones
that's got the weight, that you put the weight on the line down below, mm-hmm. because that holds the shrimp down better.
Yeah.
You know, cause
yeah,
if
me
you,
too.
Yeah, you can, that'll hold your shrimp down in that strike zone better. You know
and
what I mean?
I put the swivel on those weights towards the bait because the bait's what's going to spin around.
Right.
I used to put it up, but it doesn't seem to work as well. I don't know if it's because of the weight of the sinker pulling against it, but I find that when I put the swivel down to the bait, works better.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, because your bait's going to, you know, like you say, and even if a fish is after that shrimp or not, you know, when it's drifting, he's going to flip around on the bottom of that thing anyway. And
right.
That's going to twist your lineup if you don't have that swivel down there, because he's not going to twist that sinker. If you get your swivel above the sinker, he's not going to twist that sinker around. You know, so he would tangle up the line more that way. So having that swivel on the bottom of the sinker, where all you've got is between that bait and the sinker is the swivel, you know, the leader and the swivel, then he can actually turn around, twist around okay without twisting your lineup.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite ways to fish.
Yeah, I love to watch that float go down. I just, you know, to me, I love doing that.
right now I'm trying to teach my daughter how to do it. She's having a hard time with, you know, keeping the line tight. She says, well, doesn't it make this float come in? I said, yeah, it's kind of a, you know, 50-50 thing, you know.
Let me put you on hold, Bill.
Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mandarin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits, and blackened mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida. If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fish Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Safe Harbor Seafood, Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried, or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood, located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. And yeah, Bill, sorry about that late notice, Bill, but we're fixing to cut the mic off, so go to
I can hear the music.
Yeah, but yeah, you're talking about that flute fishing for trout. I just love to do it, and we used to go to the Gulf all the time over there, Horseshoe Beach, when I was growing up, probably from the time I was 8 till about 16 years old. We would go over there and float fish for trout over there, and you know, I mean, you go over there any time of the day, you just go out and catch trout over there, you know, because they got those grass flats, and that's just the perfect place for spawning grounds for speckled trout.
This summer, I went over to see a friend of mine who lives in the Gulf, and we were grouper fishing on rock piles in like 10 or 12 feet of water, I think I told you, and I was float fishing. And he would actually dive down, snorkel down, and try to get him out of the rock holes. It was a freaking riot. But they would. I caught all kinds of stuff on a cork over there. Not trout, just grouper. I caught, of course, a big shark. I like when you get a flounder and the cork just falls over because he picks it up.
Yeah.
And you can almost tell when you get a flounder on a cork after you do it for a while. But I'm trying to teach my daughter how to keep the line tight and not, drag the thing to the boat. So
yeah.
It's been quite a challenge for me.
Well, and I tell you, Doug, sometimes, when we're float fishing like that, sometimes you'll see that float just kind of like pop up and lay down on top of the water. And, be a big old trout, just pick up that sinker, he'll come up with that bait and pick up that sinker, and you'll see that float just pop out of the water and lay down flat. And most people will think, it's laying on the bottom, but it's not laying on the bottom.
Right.
That's cool that you can do that, slide that cork up and down and work different levels of the water column, because they're not always on the bottom.
I was just going to mention that. The cork is the thing for targeting a particular part of the water column, which trout seem to like to get in their zone. And, once you nail that, you know what level of the water that they're in.
That's like under the Danes Point Bridge over there in the cove itself, Bill. A lot of times we'll start, you get around 12 feet, 13 feet right there at the bridge, depending on the height of the tide that day.
Right.
But anyway, we started out right at the bottom, and then, of course, as the tide's coming up, as the, thing floats, you drift that thing, two or three times, you don't get a bite, you adjust it up about a foot. Drift it. Sometimes this fish will be, in 9 feet of water. Sometimes it'll be in 5 feet of water. And it's weird how you would think you'd get a bite either way, if you're floating within 2 or 3 feet of it. But sometimes you got to get, once you start getting a bite, you put all the floats at the same level, you'll start getting bites.
Yep.
And it's just so weird how they stay in that water column, that particular column that they like.
Yeah, it might be temperature related. It might be a specific temperature right at that depth.
I don't know that there's any fish I haven't caught on a cork. I've caught puffers, like you said. I caught sheephead. I've caught, flounders and reds and
blennies.
And bluefish and blennies. I've caught the biggest blenny I've ever seen in my life on a cork.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
The world's smallest one, Chris, I couldn't resist. Thursday or Wednesday.
I was I just wanted two inches.
Can you see this 2 inch blenny?
I wasn't going to say that, Bill.
Hey, BB, I think I beat you on that.
Hey, yeah, but nobody heard that one. that was done on text, so nobody heard that.
Yeah, remember?
No, I'm not so sure.
We had that off the air conversation via phone last week about the blennies.
Yeah,
right.
That was great.
My boiled blenny recipe. I gotta get that to you guys.
Yeah,
they're delicious.
For Thanksgiving, eat plenty, not blenny.
Yeah,
I think that was it.
Yeah, easy on the waistline.
There you go. Yeah. They would be, because there ain't much to them. I can tell you that.
That's true.
Yeah. It's a shame though that there's so many of them out there, because they, nobody, harvest them for any reason, So,
I heard there's a canal in Texas. And, there's canals all over the place, but it was infested with jellyfish, like clogged millions and millions of jellyfish. And this is probably 10 or 12 years ago. And somebody went through and caught them all. Obviously, it wasn't too hard. All you had to do is drag a net and pick up the globs.
Yeah.
But they sold them to the Chinese. They found a market for the jellyfish, and they sold them. They found the easiest place in the world to net them. And they, I don't know what they got a piece, probably not much, but there was a bazillion of them. And so what we're laughing at, you fished behind or next to groups of people, I imagine, and they eat everything.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We were talking about that at our trip. There was a lot of those. What kind of jellyfish were those?
The jelly balls.
Yeah,
balls. They actually put that on their salads or something.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Said that and some peanut butter, and you got you a jelly ball.
Tastes like chicken.
I took my kids to the Gulf to scallop one time, and the guy that was running the boat, went out with a charter for scallops, and he goes, "Here, hold on to the ski rope. I'll drag you. When you see scallops, we'll stop the boat." I said, "Okay." And he must have dragged me through 5,000 jellyfish. It wasn't much fun. They
better
weren't
than sharks
or anything, but
Yeah. He's trolling you. How did it feel to be a troll? A trolling bait.
Be the bait. Now.
Dang. I've been used so many times, but never like that before.
Yeah, they do. They do that down in the Keys, Bill. They have this little thing you hold onto behind the boat, and if you tip it down, it digs into the water just like a planer spoon.
Uh-huh.
And it'll take you down, like when you see like an old tire and a bunch of crawfish antennas sticking out of it. Yeah, you can dive on down. But I never did. It never did appeal to me being a trolled bait behind a boat.
Well, luckily I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, you don't want to think too much about that. Just go do it. If you think about it, you'd be like, you know, this might not be a good idea.
Yeah, well, I'm chubby now, so I'd be even badder. There goes, you know.
Did you say badder?
I meant to say fatter.
I was just messing with some beer batter the other day, so I had kind of batter on the brain there.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, fried up some.
Let you guys
fried
up talk some serious stuff. Get the silliness off the phone, but I appreciate it. And, you know, I hope everybody gets a corkfish this week. I'll see you later.
I do, too. Thanks,
all right,
Bill.
Thanks for calling, Bill. Good talking with you.
Appreciate
have
it.
Have a good day, Bill.
See you.
Yeah, and what I would do, what I would go look for going on this week is, of course, the sheep's head and, black drum. We caught some black drum, on fiddlers alongside the rocks there. We got one big red on the fiddlers, but... there's some nice big bull reds at the jetties. There's still some at the little jetties. Excuse me. There's sheep's head up and down the river and also at the jetties. And some of them pretty nice. Some of them kind of small. But, I like those larger sheep head when they, start coming in pretty good.
We caught that one red that had somebody else's hook and line still in his mouth.
Really?
Yeah.
I missed that.
Did you get it? Did you get that out?
I cut that out while you were messing with him.
He broke somebody off, or
yeah.
Okay. That's not unusual. The ones we caught were pretty good size.
Yeah, a pretty long rig sticking out of his mouth there, probably about almost 2 foot long, so I cut it so it wouldn't be dragging that around. So
well, if the weather permits, fishing, the fish are fired up. I mean, we heard that from Chip. Chip, and you said Leon got into him, so if you got an open window and the weather's permitting, y'all need to get out there some.
Yeah, because, there's the speckled trout has picked up, the bite on them have picked up the last couple of weeks because of the water temperature, cooling down. And then, of course, it's come up a little bit again this week. But I expect it to kind of even out and go back down a little bit, especially if it's going to get colder later on this week. But if you haven't caught any trout lately on lures, topwaters has been working up in the creeks. If you can get a high tide during the morning time, seems to be more bigger trout up there like that than there is like high tide during the middle of the day.
In the morning early?
Yeah. And, of course, in Mill Cove, places like that too, so, anyway, I like the high tide earlier in the morning. But, anyway, if you can try to get out there for the sheephead, that's one of the things that's going to give you more action than other stuff right now because they're biting so good.
Yeah, sheepies are hungry.
And then I heard there's some whiting at Nassau, which I haven't tried yet. But anyway.
Been seeing a lot of pompano caught on reports, too.
Stay tuned for Ask an Attorney. All About Florida Law will be on next, and we'll see you next week.